This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by the Moan app. Moan, M-O-N, is a first and only live social audio app for the sex-positive community. Drop into a room and hear live conversations about topics like LGBTQ+ issues, kink, and polyamory, with discussions led by sexologists, doctors, and cultural experts, and everyday enthusiasts. Or initiate your own conversations and discuss your favorite topics around sex in a judgment-free, tolerant, and anonymous forum. You can also join hashtag Hookup Horror Stories rooms and live tapings of this very show, where we will discuss various subjects, play games, and tell stories with other moaners. Download the Moan app, that's M-O-N, on the App Store and Google Play now. See you there.
So I leave the apartment for, you know, a couple of hours, come back, and they are fucking. And I learn out later that it's because he had such a huge penis, she just had to try it out, right? So I'm on the couch, sleeping, and I'm listening to my quasi kind of girlfriend being fucked all night by this random guy. And it was this feeling of, I guess, defeat, but also like accepted defeat, because what could I do, right? There's nothing like for me to get angry about. There's nothing I couldn't. I had all the power taken away from me, and I just kind of had to sit in that feeling. And I think after a while, that feeling is kind of intoxicating, because having no power is one thing, but then accepting you have no power and being fine with that is actually quite a nice feeling. But the slide in that pussy is a homicide.
But the slide in that pussy is a homicide. It's a homicide. Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm your resident sexual deviant, Demi Wild. This is a special interactive version of the podcast created just for Moan users, where we will be discussing the latest news headlines, dishing out some sexy advice to Reddit questions, and we will also be playing a group game of red flags. So stick around, we're going to have a lot of fun here on Moan. Couple little ground rules before we get started. This is a safe space, so please be kind to other people. Stay on topic respectfully. The topics will be jumping around a little bit, so I'll obviously give a little disclaimer as to when we're moving on to something else. But if you want to join the conversation or have something to say about the topic, kindly raise your hand and I'll pull you up to the stage, or you can just stay in the comments. Just let me know how you're feeling about whatever it is that we're talking about. Finally, when you're not speaking, just a reminder to kindly mute yourself and eliminate any background noise that's going on. So I'm going to open up these comments and see what's going on. Subby, thank you for being here. Jasmine, thank you for being here. Free, welcome for being here. Very nice episode on the podcast. Thank you so much. A new episode just dropped today on sex trafficking. This is a really important topic. I've been wanting to make an episode about it for a while, but it's finally out. So thank you, Subby, for listening to that. Kindly check that out after we're done here. That would be super amazing. Give us a subscribe. Give us a little like or whatever on Apple Podcast or whatever you're using. Let's get into some headlines, shall we? I promise I only have one serious topic to talk about today, but I can't not talk about it, and it's the Club Q shooting. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but it's still been on my mind, and I know in recent days some newer information has come out, so I do have one thing to talk about it. I'll just go ahead and just jump into it. So I found this article on CNN basically giving a little like play-by-play as to like some of the information that happened that night. So Colorado Springs police say that they got the first 911 call at about 11:56 p.m. Within a minute, they had dispatched officers to the nightclub, and by 12:02 p.m., the gunman was in custody. So 6 minutes. 6 minutes left five people dead: Daniel Aston, Kelly Loving, Ashley Powell, Derek Rump, and Raymond Green Vance. 19 others were injured. One of the most interesting pieces of information about this is that an actual retired Army major, Richard M. Fierro, who was 45, was at a table at the club with his wife, daughter, and some friends when the gunfire started. He told CNN's Berman that his military instincts kicked in when he saw the gunman, who was wearing a flak vest and wearing a rifle. Fierro got up, charged the man, knocking him to the ground, and another Club Q patron, Thomas James, helped Fierro tackle him. The gunman's name, who is Anderson Lee Aldrich, was taken to the hospital where he was taken into custody. Some details have emerged about him as well. I think one of the most interesting pieces of information about this is that the Army veteran actually took control of the situation and actually knocked this guy to the ground. And I think that's the most interesting piece about this. A little bit about the shooters have emerged in recent days as well. So Aldrich identifies as a non-binary person and uses they, them pronouns. Kind of interesting. They have an estranged father, and he appeared on camera after the shooting saying that they don't do gay in their family, quote unquote. They had a previous name change. I didn't have any information about that, but apparently they changed their name as well. They had a 2021 arrest in which their mother accused them of threatening her with a homemade pipe bomb. And they also have a family connection to a conservative California lawmaker. Legal experts say Aldrich's gender identity has no bearing on whether the hate crime charges could be filed, though. I think one of the most interesting pieces about this is the fact that, you know, as queer people, number one, I was deeply disturbed by this information. The next day I had to work that day. So I had this information just like in my head, just like swimming around. And that night I went home, I made a TikTok video about it, and I haven't really talked about it since. But making that TikTok video was kind of a little extra, the extra kick I needed to kind of like really process this information, because I cried afterwards and it was really deeply disturbing. I'm tired of these stories. I honestly need to talk about them, but I'm tired of hearing these stories about gay people and conservative lawmakers just shitting on us. It's frustrating to deal with, and it's frustrating to hear. And again, it just galvanizes people into taking shit like this. You know, I apologize for cursing, but it galvanizes people into like into doing this. But I think one of the most important pieces of information about this show, about this story, is that as queer people, I don't think Richard Fierro is a queer person. He said he was with his wife, daughter, and friends at the gay club, but it just goes to show that the police aren't really going to like take control of the situation. When Pulse happened, it took them hours to take control of the situation. It took this guy 6 minutes, and a retired Army veteran took control. I think that no one's really going to save us except ourselves in this situation or in these types of situations. I just thought that was a really interesting part of the story here. I don't think anything's come out in recent days about Anderson anymore, but I'm still following along and trying to figure out what the best way to talk about this is. But I think that talking about the victims, talking about how somebody actually took control of the situation rather than police getting involved is a really vital piece of information. So thank you guys. If you have any thoughts about this, I'm here to listen to them. Comments are open. I'm going to just keep going. So we've all heard about Balenciaga and their recent scandal. So luxury fashion house Balenciaga has apologized for featuring children cuddling teddy bears dressed in bondage in its latest campaign. They said in a press release, the campaign is an exploration of what people collect and receive as gifts, which is a weird way to explain what that is, I think. But there was an angry response on social media, of course, saying that young children in plush teddy bear bags dressed in BDSM was inappropriate. Another child is pictured with an assortment of empty wine glasses. I didn't see that image, but apparently that's an image from the campaign as well. The company posted an apology on its Instagram, announcing that the campaign had been removed and that they sincerely apologize for any offense our holiday campaign may have caused, the statement said. On Twitter, one Twitter user said, "I do not accept their apology and never will. It's never okay to sexualize kids. Balenciaga loyal Kim Kardashian stayed quiet on the issue for quite some time, but I think actually came out and saying that she criticized the campaign and that she was actually upset and disturbed by hearing about this. And the images that she saw just really bothered her, and then she hopes that Balenciaga learns from it. She didn't necessarily like, I don't think, you know, because she from Kanye West is still very much involved in like their in the company and all this stuff in the fashion brand. Yeah, comments. Fierro said the nice quote from the article. He said, "I'm not a hero. Everyone else in that room was a hero with us, and everyone got a hero story just to try and survive." Absolutely, yes. I disagree. He is a hero, but everyone in that room that helped take down the shooter was absolutely a hero as well. It just goes to show you that the power that we have just to take control is really amazing. No one's going to save us except ourselves. Thoughts about Balenciaga? Let me know in the comments. I'm going to keep on going. Amy Robach and TJ Holmes. So these are two anchors from Good Morning America 3. They have apparently been having an affair with each other. News of their off-camera relationship broke out this past week, shocking the media industry. The pair haven't seen each other over the holidays, but arrived at work on Thursday feeling no shame about the relationship scandal that hit the media a day before. The couple said that they felt supported and loved by their ABC colleagues, and they're not ashamed, adding that that is not how they wanted the news of their relationship to come out, but it's also kind of a relief. Robach and Holmes have been good friends for 8 years, but their romance began in August when they both were dealing with marital woes. Holmes and his wife, Marilee Feebig, have had marital problems throughout the years. They hit a rough patch last year, which caused Holmes to move out temporarily. They eventually reconciled, but it was a short-lived, and he moved out for good about 4 months ago. Robach and her TV star husband, Andrew Hsu, had issues of their own. Robach's marriage officially came to an end about 6 months ago, while a fourth person claimed that she was very a person involved with Robach said that she was very upset about it. Sources say that no one was blindsided by Robach and Holmes' relationship, including their spouses. Rumors of secret rendezvous started the moment they became friends in 2014, and rumors of them hooking up at separate events in 2017 ran rampant around ABC. In fact, they were afraid to be even seen around each other at times. On Thursday, however, Robach and Holmes were both mum about the situation when they appeared on Good Morning America 3, despite arriving at the studio, quote, as a couple. So I feel like a lot of this stuff happens this way, and honestly, more power to them. I think it's a really interesting story, especially people that are like in the media industry and like are on camera, appear on camera, to kind of have this secret affair going on. But it wasn't really an affair because their marriages were done by that point when they actually officially did stuff or made it official. However, I always think of like Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani, how they got together. They were both kind of going through the same type of situation when Gwen's relationship was ending with Gavin Rossdale and Blake Shelton's relationship was ending with his wife. And they just kind of like got together on The Voice. So I this type of stuff tends to happen. And honestly, more power to them. If it's right, it's right. You know, it's right. I think it's great. I did see a clip though recently. it was them coming back from break and laughing about something that was going on, and it was like oh no, these people are fucking like that type of energy. Maybe that's me projecting what I already knew at that point, but there was some sexual tension there for sure. One more news article here that I have. So, Colombian judge shows up to her Zoom meeting in her underwear. A Colombian judge was handed a 3-month suspension this week for appearing half naked and smoking in bed during a virtual court hearing. The Judicial Disciplinary Commission in Norte de Santander ruled Tuesday that Judge Vivian Polania violated multiple administrative regulations. Polania, 34, appeared on the Zoom call lounging in what looked to be her underwear and puffing on a cigarette during a court hearing related to a car bombing. According to the panel's 16-page ruling, Polonia kept her camera off for nearly an hour before turning it on, revealing that she was lying in bed in a deplorable state, looking disheveled with sleepy eyes and slurring her speech. Someone might have had a little party the night before. When an attorney present at the hearing told the judge that her camera had been turned on, Polonia quickly switched the device off. The video of the scantily clad judge quickly went viral and prompted the Disciplinary Committee to launch an investigation into Polonia's NSFW display. The committee stated that the decision to place Polonia on unpaid leave through February was made after it was determined that she was not fit to perform her duties. Polonia was previously investigated for sharing risque snaps of herself in BDSM-style outfits and skimpy lingerie, displaying her 37 tattoos on her Instagram page, where she had more than 30,000 followers until the account was deactivated this week. Speaking of Blue Radio, Polonia said that she was extremely overworked during the time of the scandal, resulting in her momentary mental health struggles, but unbowed by the controversy over the Zoom video, Polonia said that she will not change her personality for others. I'm a little torn on this myself, because it was definitely interesting, but the more information I find about this person is the more kind of like, okay, this is a very open person. First of all, you know, she's a younger judge, but she's also had a little bit of like controversy just with being a young girl on the internet. So it's, you know, showing her body and all this stuff, but like people are saying this unbecoming of a judge, first of all, which I'm a little bit torn about, because it's like, okay, yes, you're doing your thing, which is amazing and great, and that's cool. However, I do think that showing up to work in a fucked up state is not good. Let me know in the comments how you feel. This is all the news stories I have for you this week. Thank you guys for being here and joining in. Cucky Sab and Private User, I'm going to keep the ball rolling. So I've got some advice for you guys here, or I've got some questions for you guys. If you have advice, please let me know in the comments. If you want to join in the conversation with me, raise your hand. I'll bring you up here as well. But we're going to talk about some sex advice here. So, starting sex while partner is asleep, is it hot or is it rapey? So my wife and I were talking about sex, and I think that it would be incredibly hot if she would start sex while I am asleep, and that she can basically go as far as she wants using my body for her pleasure. She looked at me very surprised and told me that she would consider this rape if I would do it to her. Now we know where we are, and actually a couple of times she's actually used this option. So I wake up a few seconds after she starts touching me. The question is, how weird is this kink of his? Am I alone considering this highly erotic and stimulating? And the second question is whether our points of view are representative for the majority of men and women, which is my hypothesis, although of course many women and men would differ from this. I would believe so too. So would if you would say your gender, I could try to see whether this is the case. I apologize about the verbiage here. I pulled these directly from Reddit, so sometimes it's a little confusing for me to read. So, two parts here. Is this hot or is this rapey? Is this a problem for you guys starting sex while asleep? For me, I don't think I have a problem with it, because I think it's kind of hot. I mean, yeah, like just starting sex like while I'm asleep, someone starting it. I would like to wake up though. I don't think I want to be asleep during. I think that's a little weird for me. Yeah, nothing wrong with it if it's talked about. Exactly. If you're an established couple, I think that's definitely fine. However, there is a question of gender specific or specificity. So is it the same situation for a female partner if a man is trying to start it while she's asleep? I think just at first glance, perhaps it is a little bit creepy to have this type of fetish, but I don't th think it's necessarily a bad thing. So I think if it's okay and it's established beforehand, I think it's fine. Oh, I have a guest. Let me see here. Hi, Slurpee. Do you have thoughts about this?
Hey, Demi. Hey, everybody. I think you pretty much have already said what I was going to say when I raised my hand, and that was that it just depends on the dynamic of the couple.
Right.
And I think newer couples, it's questionable. Couples that know their dynamic know what is acceptable and what isn't, and communication is key. But sometimes even nonverbal communication can
Right, like if they
tell you
turn
what you
over and they're like,
can't.
no, don't touch me right now.
Say again.
Like if they turn over and say, no, I just don't touch me right now. I'm not feeling it.
Right. There's your clue, to stop.
Right.
And
Yeah, I think it's
but
also, we don't have any females in here, unfortunately, but I is it do you, are you a heterosexual person?
I'm bisexual,
Okay.
so
With your experiences with women, do you think that they might have some say in this? I mean, I've obviously this is all hypothetical. We're not talking about this in reality, but like this is a hypothetical situation.
hypothetical. And I mean, I've engaged in this. I've engaged sex with my wife while she was asleep, and there were times that she loved it, and there were times that I think she tolerated it,
She just tolerated
but I, that's where I say the couple dynamic thing is an issue in that, she tolerates my bad jokes too. She tolerates lots of things. So, the issue of consent with sex is a delicate one. But I was considering when you mentioned that male versus this female, that there is a thing there, and is it a societal thing, or is it possibly even something as simple as the difference between penetration and not being penetrated? Being penetrated is such an intimate act, whereas penetrating it is intimate as well, but not in the same way. If that makes any sense.
No, yeah, it completely. If it, just touching or fooling around or something like that is what you mean, right? I think ha I
Absolutely.
think here's a question though: is just having the kink problematic?
If your partner's into it, but I didn't hear the entire thing that you read,
Oh,
so
I see.
I jumped in right after it began.
Right. Yeah, there's two parts of the question. So number two is like, the difference between male and female, what are the points of views on this kink? And the first question was, is the kink just weird? So that's where I'm kind of a little bit lost at. I wish we had some females here to kind of like enlighten us on this, but I don't think just having the kink is weird. I think perhaps again the dynamic is important, but I don't think at off firsthand just having this kink is a bad thing.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Cool. Well, thank you for
Because,
enlightening me.
yeah,
Yeah.
thanks for having me up.
Of course, yeah.
I'll
We're gonna go
sit
on to
back
number
down.
two here. So how do I talk about things that bother me to my significant other when they are always going through something? My significant other has a hard family. They're constantly unloading onto them due to issues of their own, but because of that, they are always emotionally down. I feel like this is always going on, and I recently have not had a time where there isn't something going on for them. How can I point out things that bother me in our relationship or things my significant other does that bothers me without further getting them down emotionally? I don't want to add to the stress, but I also don't want to not voice out things that bother me. Walking on eggshells. This is something I picked this one because this is something that's actually applied to me before with a previous relationship of mine, where my ex had a lot of emotional baggage, I would say, you know, just if with previous relationships of his, and just dealing with family stuff. And so I always felt like when it was time for me to discuss something serious in the relationship, it was difficult for me to do so because I didn't want to add to the drama that's already going on in their head. But I think what I've learned is that communication's the best way to do it. I think just letting them know and letting them, no matter what, like, it's better to just rip off the Band-Aid, right? It's just better to like let them know how you're feeling. Oh, Subby, I just saw that comment. Somnophilia, is that the name of it? For insomnia, I guess, sleeping. Yes. Somnophilia, that's interesting. Yeah, so what do you guys think? If you are in a relationship with someone and they're kind of always in a bad mood, how do you bring up difficult topics to them? I think just ripping off the Band-Aid is the best mode of action. Just let them know anyways. They're your partner. Like, they're supposed to know this stuff. I think sometimes it's just hard not to, because you care about the person, to not try to add to their plate in any way. But I think at the same time, you guys are in it together. And I think just talking about the situation, whatever the situation might be, is the best way to do it. Rip off the Band-Aid. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. I'm going to keep mowing. All right. One last one here. A 23 male struggling with attractions to both genders. Slurpee, you might have some some interesting insights here. So 23 male identifies as a heteroromantic bisexual guy for a while here. Recently, it's becoming harder for me to have sexual fantasies about women, and I hate it strongly because of the way it makes me feel. For some reason, I have no problem accepting I like men and can somewhat engage in fantasies about them as I masturbate when I'm not taunted by intrusive thoughts. With women, though, it's much more difficult because of a combination of factors. I am still, however, stuck with watching gay porn sexually, as I don't feel guilt watching it. However, I do feel guilt watching straight porn. I feel worthless and jealousy that some other guy is having fun with a woman who desires him. I am a totally inexperienced man with both genders. No dates, no kisses, no cuddles, nothing sexual at all. Huh, okay. After masturbating, if I'm not plagued by intrusive thoughts, the joy is short-lived. They claim to be heteroromantic. For me, that goes like this. I can easily find attraction with certain guys and have no problem with sexual fantasies. But with women, I am afraid. I'm afraid of being vulnerable. I'm afraid of not being manly enough. I'm scared to do casual sex with women. I need a strong connection emotionally to feel safe and secure because that they are actually, they feel insecure. What do you guys think? There is a lot to this that I can unpack a little bit at a time. Slurpee, the balance between patience and ripping off the Band-Aid is difficult, but if you find yourself with a partner who avoids a conversation, you have to rip it off. Yes, absolutely. I think so too. Yeah, okay. So, struggling with attractions to both genders. I would like to know a little bit more about this person's history, whether they grew up like religious, if they grew up maybe Catholic. So I know a Catholic has a lot of guilt issues going on within their sexuality. Seems like it would be hard to know for him, and he needs to get out there and explore. Exactly. I think that the total inexperience is perhaps a little bit, he's 23. So I think it weighs on him heavily, especially with he's struggling with romantic thoughts. And I think that in such a way that I think just getting out there and exploring yourself is probably the best mode of action here, because that's the only way that you know what you like and what works for you. He says he feels guilt watching straight porn, because I think that just really, I think really it goes to show a little bit more about his insecurity when it comes to women. He says that he can apparently have, you know, feel no guilt when watching gay porn, but this is a tough one, man. This is really interesting. I think that there's more to the story than what's just being told here, though. I think there's a lot more history, perhaps like some trauma that they've experienced in the past as well, that's keeping them from experiencing these things, or keeping them within this intrusive thought pattern. What do you guys think? Right her. Right here. I even hear subcuck tendencies in it. Right. I think a little bit of that also. Like, I would like to know more about what cuckolding is. I mean, I know what it is, but like, what is the dynamic in this? Can anyone enlighten me a little bit? Maybe I'm a bit ignorant about this. Welcome back, Slurpee.
Hey, thanks. when I said that, it was more coming from a place of, like you said, we need more information to really know what he's feeling and where he stands. But I'm assuming there's some shame involved in what he's feeling.
It sounds that way, yeah.
My assumption could be wrong, but let's just, for the sake of argument, assume it is. And when he talks about not knowing if he will be, for lack of a better word, good with females in right. bed, his questioning of himself, that really plays into the shame and the worthlessness feeling that, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it. The patriarchy creates, you know, if a man has fantasies about another man, that he within the patriarchy doesn't fit the mold of a man.
Right.
And the same plays into the cuckolding thing. And so you were asking what the angst was like. And it's so hard to explain. But one time, just after I had watched my wife have sex with another man, I joined a moan room, and there was a gentleman in the room. His name is Pagan, and he goes by Pagan and the Four Horsemen.
Okay.
People that arranges gangbang parties sometime. And that's where the Four Horsemen come into the title. But he's on the app sometimes, but anyway, he started asking me questions, you know, and there was a point in time when we were in a hotel and we had two rooms, and they were in his room and I was not with them. And I went and put my ear to the door to find out if they were having sex, because she was just going to go over and say hello and invite him to come have a drink with us. And then that 20 minutes later, I've got my ear to the door, and I can hear them having sex. I can hear grunting and moaning. And so this Pagan, he asked me, you know, how did that feel at that moment? And I described it this way. You know, I said it felt like there was a string that attached my stomach to my genitalia on the inside of my body, and my stomach began to rise. And I think that's a normal feeling when someone feels shame or taboo.
Right.
But as my stomach rises, it's pulling my cock and balls with it, and it's like I have an arousal and erection that's inverted inside of my body, and it's just pulling my genitalia hardened through the inside of my body, and it like tickles every time it rubs across anything.
So there's like a cross between this kind of like taboo feeling and a sexual arousal.
It's sexual arousal, taboo, and shame all mixed into one thing. It's when you sexualize shame. Now, I think it evolves, and it very much has evolved for me to where the shame really isn't that much of an element.
Right.
The taboo isn't that much of an element. It's just erotic.
Right. Once taboo becomes kind of normal, it's like it's just the shame is released. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's my best explanation of it. You know, I just did a recorded room of their last play date, and I go into that bit that I just spoke about feeling it dragging up through your body, and so
that's very interesting.
I detailed the whole date. And you might want to check it out. It goes inside my mind. I explain what I'm thinking.
That's cool. Yeah, I will definitely check that out. And if you guys are here and joining, yeah, please check that out as well. Oh, I have another hand up. Hold on.
Awesome.
Hello, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, can everyone hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Absolutely. How's it going?
Cool. Well, I just joined the group. I'm not familiar with the podcast, but I'll definitely check it out. I just wanted to get involved. I wouldn't say I'm a cook. I've dabbled, and if you're on Moan, you've learned a lot about it. So there's not much I haven't tried in my life, but I did accidentally get that cook angst pretty early on in my 20s, and I think that's what started the fascination with it. And Slurpee just gave a pretty good explanation from my dabbling. I think that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really great explanation. So thank you, Slurpee, for that as well. It definitely enlightened me a little bit as like what the experience is like. And definitely, I think I would also, it's a really good explanation of how it feels for sure.
Well, can I briefly tell you the story of how it happened to me?
Absolutely.
And then
yeah.
I think that's pretty, you can understand the feeling. So I was going out with this girl for a while, then she moved back to America. So we were still kind of dating, but long distance, and it kind of just kind of faded out. But the idea was I would go visit, and then, you know, things would kind of pick up again with us, because while I'm there, and this sounds like, you know, I'm complaining about being friend zoned. That isn't the case. I'm still very good friends with her to this day. But there was kind of this gray area of whether we were together or not. And I go visit, and I realize, oh, she gets a date on the first night that I'm there. So she's like, oh, I forgot about this, blah, 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 whatever. So I leave the apartment for, you know, a couple of hours to come back, and they are fucking. And I learn out later that it's because he had such a huge penis, she just had to try it out, right? So I'm on the couch sleeping, and I'm listening to my quasi kind of girlfriend being fucked all night by this random guy. And it was this feeling of, I guess, defeat, but also like accepted defeat, because what could I do, right? There's nothing like for me to get angry about. There's nothing I couldn't, I had all the power taken away from me. And I just kind of had to sit in that feeling. And I think after a while, that feeling is kind of intoxicating, because having no power is one thing, but then accepting you have no power and being fine with that is actually quite a nice feeling. So yeah, that's my story of how that happened.
No, that's a really good explanation too. Cause I mean, not even just in a sexual way, like that, like just realizing that, like, okay, I'm powerless about the situation. I have no control. I think I was just hearing it. I heard, oh my God, well, I'm going to ruin this quote, but it was yesterday. Eckhart Tolle said that if you don't like a situation, I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry. I just pulled this out of my ass. He said, if you don't like a situation, remove yourself. If you can't remove yourself, change your thoughts about it. If you can't change your thoughts about it, then leave. I think that's a total valid thing, not only just in sexually, but if you, but that kind of like realizing you have no power in a situation is almost powerful in itself.
Yes, absolutely. And I think as a guy, especially, there's the whole masculine energy, which you kind of have to protect and, you know, claim ownership of things. And well, that's the whole toxic masculinity thing. To go against that and be like, oh, that it feels just like a weight off the shoulder.
Completely.
To be like, oh, I don't have to protect this girl or guy as my property and no one else can. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. And right. So it's kind of a freeing power as well of you just don't have to worry about that anymore, or you can in fact enjoy the opposite. And then all that kind of social programming that took place as a guy growing up is freed.
Social deprogramming.
Yeah. I also imagine it's the same for hot wives or cuckold dresses, in that they it's the opposite. They're told to be, you know, faithful and not slutty, and you can't sleep with this person just because, and blah, blah, blah. So to free up the relationship and kind of turn it on its head, the power dynamic, I think is freeing for both parts. So I wouldn't say I'm a cook myself, but I totally get it. I'm like, yeah, I felt kind of a little bit of it, and I understand.
Interesting. I think I know a lot more about cuckolding now. So thank you, guys.
Oh, well, if you're on Moan, there is a million cuckold rooms.
Yeah.
Just join and get a chance to talk to a cuckold.
Yeah, for sure. This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by Spaces, the new chat-based app for queer people to connect about things they are most passionate about. Join a space and chat about your favorite topics, or create a space of your own, invite friends, and find community about pretty much anything, all in a safe, LGBT-friendly environment powered by Hornet. Look for Spaces in the App Store now and join the official Hookup Horror Stories chat. Check the link in our bio to find out more. Thanks. Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you today by Good Pods, the world's fastest growing podcast social networking app. What's the best way to discover a new podcast? Through your friends, of course. With Good Pods, you can do exactly that. Join specific groups and find out what other people are listening to right now. Everything from true crime to comedy, self-help and spirituality, and yes, even this show. Download Good Pods today and start sharing your faves with other podcast addicts everywhere. See you there.
While I have you guys up here, I just have one more section. Do you guys want to play some red flags with me?
Sure.
Let's do it. If you guys want to join too, raise your hand. I'd love to have you up here. We can have as many people as we want. Hi, Alex. Welcome. All right, Subby, come on up.
One thing I wanted to mention about the cuckolding is if you have any knowledge or experience with BDSM and the power exchange,
yes,
cuckolding is, at least for me, very much a power exchange. And that goes into what Chris was just saying.
Absolutely. I think so too.
I get power from it.
I mean, if you think about sex, the entire thing is a power exchange.
John, I think there's a misconception about cooks being weak, but it's actually strengthening. Because the strongest person is the one that walks away from the fight because they're not bothered. You know, if you square up and kind of fight, then you've kind of shown a weakness. So I feel that the whole cuckold thing is they're incredibly strong, self-assured, confident guys, so much so that they can allow that happen. It doesn't affect them negatively.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right, you guys. So I have you guys up here. We're going to play some red flags. If you don't know what red flags is, basically, I'm just going to give you a situation with a partner. All you got to do is tell me if it's a red flag for you or not and why. Sound like a plan?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Number one, they have a funky aura.
You mean they smell? That's a red flag.
I mean, just like in the spiritual sense, they just have an aura, a funky aura.
No, I don't. For me personally, it depends on everything else going on, but you can have enough to overcome that. And I would assume that it was my fault. You know, if someone's got an aura, it's how I'm reading it. So right. If that was like the only issue, I would just, that isn't a red flag for me.
Subby, how about you? Red flag for you too?
No.
Oh, not a red flag for you. Gotcha. I think generally I have a pretty good read on people. So for me, I think it would be a red flag. I think if someone's just got really weird energy, I don't want to be around that.
It depends if it's like a sinister energy.
Right.
Like that wouldn't be cool. But if it's just like quirky, it's like, I can get through that.
Yeah. They chew with their mouth open.
I'm English and all Americans eat disgustingly.
I agree. So,
yeah, I don't understand who raised you guys, but it's so that would eliminate all Americans for me.
Well,
so
I was not flag, raised that
I
way.
I would be annoyed by it.
My mother told me viciously when I was a child to don't chew with my mouth open, and it always has been ingrained in my mind. I don't think this is a thing that a lot of us do, but for some reason, it's just when it does, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's like a fucking cow just chewing on grass. Like, what are you doing? So I'd be annoyed by it, but I feel I would let the resentment build up and then I would explode about something else. But I would have to carry on being them if they did.
Yeah. Red flag for you too, Sebi.
And red flag for Slurpee as well. However, I will note that it always was a red flag for me until I met my wife. And she doesn't chew with her mouth open, but what she does do is take very large bites, doesn't chew very many times and swallows. And the point of that is that that's kind of how she is with her sex life too. And so today, if I met a woman who chewed with her mouth open, I might not red flag her so quick, because maybe that appetite translates into other things.
Oh my goodness.
Interesting.
I'm thank you, Slurpee, too. I got your comment that said that you might have dropped out, so I wasn't sure if you were still here or not. So thank you.
You bet. You bet.
Just an annoying, not a red flag, says ER Spark One. Yeah, for sure. Cookie Bear says red flag season. they have a bad tattoo.
No. Well, are we talking swastika? Or are we talking like Sweetie Bird?
So two examples here. One would just be like they got a stick and poke tattoo when they were like 17. And it's just a really dumb tattoo.
No, I need my partners to be able to make that decision to put up with me. So I think that's not a red flag.
That's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I've had a bad tattoo. My first tattoo was a bad tattoo. I got band art from the Yeah Yeahs, and I changed my mind the last minute because I was going to get this really cool kind of like half sleeve of Jack Skellington. And I wish I had gotten it still, but I ended up about 10 years later getting it covered up. So, but if they did, but if they did have a swastika.
It's not a red flag.
Not a red flag. Yeah, I think so. I think life is just, you got to experience life somehow.
I grew up in that religious conservative household, and tattoos were taboo.
Yeah.
And my wife has quite a lot of tattoos, and a few of them are really bad. And when I say really bad, they're bad from the standpoint of she was either unlucky enough or didn't put the thought into choosing a good artist, and they just slaughtered them. And you know, I think a lot of times intoxication has a role to play in that, but
Once again today, I certainly won't red flag tattoos until I know the person. I mean, there's no reason to red flag a tattoo. That's the whole point for me.
It also depends if they think it's a bad tattoo, because they can always get it removed if they're like, "Oh, this is kind of embarrassing, but whatever, I'll cover it up and I can get it removed." But if they have a really bad tattoo, but they love it, then that's probably a sign of something else and a red flag.
Sure.
Right, exactly. I mean, tattoos in general, my mom had tattoos when I was born. So like, I couldn't wait to get my first tattoo. She actually took me to get my first tattoo. But since that one experience I had, I've always made sure every tattoo I've gotten has been something, number one, I really wanted. I normally have like one guy that I go to. So I already have like my artist that does what I like when I like it. So understanding what you like and like what will look good on your body and what you're kind of going for is really important as well. So yeah, definitely do your research about tattoos. Next one. We are really into anime.
For me, I'm not. I've never really understood or got into that culture. So it would be a red flag, but it is just because if they're really into it, then I have nothing to add to that conversation. So that would be a red flag for me. But it's not a judgment on them, it's a judgment on me.
Right.
It's not a red flag. I love anime.
You love anime? That's cool. I loved anime when I was younger.
I didn't have a problem with anime. You know, I know who can answer this question. It's Cucky Bear.
Yeah.
Maybe he are. It's a big green flag. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, green nope. flag for Cucky
my
Bear.
Thing with anime, I like anime. However, too frequently I don't find anime that follows, that narrates the fantasies that I enjoy. And so, for that reason, but would it be I think it'd be a green flag for me, because it tells me that that partner is into sexuality in a way that they think about it more than they need a visual stimulus. I mean, anime is kind of complex in the fact that it's not actors. I mean, there's voice actors, but it's a story being told by a author.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there's another thing that, and this is terribly shallow of me to say, but most anime has, an oriental, vibe to it. And I think largely because mainstream anime really has grown from the Orient, and I just don't find it sexy in that way. Like, not that I couldn't find Oriental anime sexy. It's just that it seems like all of it is. There's no variety.
I feel that's because in the West, cartoon, we just view them as cartoons and that's it. Like, it's not actually valued as an art form in the West, I feel.
Mm.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Could be. Yeah, so I had friends that were into it when I was younger in high school, and you know, we were into it. I don't think anime is always sexual. However, I think just with Asian cultures in general, there's a certain level of sexuality that is definitely taboo. So I think a lot of that does get put into anime, such as, you know, big-breasted women, so on and so forth. And then you get also these kind of weird ones with like tentacle porn and stuff like that. But my favorite animes were not sexual. My favorite animes were very kind of like fantasy stories. I think one of the ones I really liked was Wolf's Rain. So it's like these people that were basically turned into wolves. So I love stuff like that. But like, as of now, red flag. I think if you're an adult watching cartoons all the time, I think that's a big red flag for me.
Yes, and I used to work in an adult store, so we sold a lot of anime stuff. And to my eye, the sexual stuff, they're always like school kids, right? Like,
yeah, they're teenagers.
Why is this
exactly.
girl wearing a school uniform? Like, I know you say she's 50 or whatever, but
So it's always been a little, yeah, that's why I've never really got into that. Like, this seems weird.
Exactly. Cucky Bear says that's a green flag. I like twisted anime though. If it's not gonna fuck my head, I don't want it. I'm like that with I'm like that with movies in general. If it's not messing with my head, I love it. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
If you're talking about like the porn version, I do like a story. So as far as that goes, like, well, I'm into that. You know, I'd rather watch a film with a story and characters and like progression rather than just like on the style fucking. So that's good.
Exactly. All right, guys, I got time for one more here. And let's make it a good one. I don't want to use that one. Let's do, they sleep in the same bed as their mom when they go and visit her.
Oh, yeah. Red flag. That's not happening.
Like, my mom has, you know, emotional problems. When I go visit her, she needs me to sleep in the same bed as her.
I mean, that's a good excuse, but there's no real good excuse. That just shouldn't be.
There's no real good excuse for that one, is there?
No. I mean, there's other things you can do rather than that. Also, if you go visit where you sleep, like, if your partner's sleeping in the bed with the mom, are you on the couch?
Yeah, I guess so. Why are we not sleeping in the same bed?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Red flag or no?
Red flag.
Red flag for sure. Therapy, you? ER Spark says, that is you. I agree too. All right, you guys. This has been amazing. Thank you guys for joining me. This is super cool. Later on, I will be in a room with Shy. We're doing an interview. She's interviewing me for her little project here. She's interviewing people from Moan, and that's gonna be at 5 o'clock Pacific time. So I will be here for that as well. If you guys are around, love to have you in the audience. Thank you guys for joining me on this live podcast. If this will be airing next week, so next Friday, this new episode will be out. Check it out. Check out my podcast, Hook Up Horror Stories, wherever you can. And check out the episode that just dropped today. Thank you guys for joining me today.
No, thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Subby. Thank you, Slurpees. Thank you, Chris. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help out the show. Check out the episode description for my guest social media links, and for more information on me, to read my blogs, The Deviant Diaries, or A Deviant's Guide to Sex, or information about tarot readings, please visit DimitriWild.com. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional.